Mini episode 552 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
30 seconds.
In front of all these people, you're going to pull out a gun and you're going to shoot an unarmed man.
20 seconds.
So what are you going to do?
10.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge and the Justified episode recap.
It was justified.
With your original dignitaries.
Fire in the hole!
Rick Morris and Jason Jones.
You got ice cold water running through your veins.
Breaking down each Justified episode the moment they've concluded.
Did you take a peek inside the soul of Raymond Newton?
I'm just gonna let that old dog lie.
Real-time reactions. Next level analysis.
You seem to be harboring a bit of hostility there, brother.
So I've been told.
And now, your dignitaries.
Well, I believe we can take her from here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 552. We are here to recap the last episode ever of Justified. Rick Morris, Jason Jones, your FDH Lounge dignitaries. We'll get into the meat of it in a moment, but right now, the final scene is playing out, what I think is going to be the final scene. Raylan and Boyd in jail. And with that, I'm going to bring in Jason Jones. We're going to talk about this in real time here. Jason, do you think this is it, the last scene with Raylan and Boyd? Last one between them, obviously. You think this is the last scene?
I'm at a complete loss here. I was over the moon, and now I'm just kind of confused.
I understand that. I understand the feeling. There's been a lot that's been compressed into this episode. Raylan is telling Boyd that Ava is dead, which we know to be a lie. So he's trying to protect Ava from Boyd. But a final conversation between the two, I think that's something we really didn't expect, right? We didn't expect it to end in a talk between the two at the end. Boyd's appearing to be pretty philosophical at the moment here, perhaps legitimately so. It's a strange ending. It's not what we expected.
The word contrition doesn't kind of vibe with what we were expecting.
I don't think so. I don't think it does. I think you're right about that. Boyd is going to ask Raylan one last question here. Interestingly enough, let's see what it is. I think he's asking why he came to see him. This might be the very end right here, I'm thinking. News that should be delivered in person. There you go. And Boyd's saying that's the only reason. There is one thing Raylan is saying. We dug coal together, Boyd says. And Raylan agrees with it. Wow. Not the ending that was expected in a lot of ways. I was afraid very possibly they were going to kill off Raylan. So much had happened tonight. So many people that did die in the course of this episode and others that came close to dying as far as the IEDs that were being thrown by Boyd in the forest that the marshals and the other law enforcement people. I know we're going to end up jumping around a lot sequentially, as coincidentally the show did. But you seem to be the most disoriented, I would say, from our texting back and forth when they did the flash forward to 4 years in the future, which, ironically, if you look at the compressed timeline of the show, is probably just about present day. This show started in 2010. In real time, the show took probably about 2 years, 2.5 years, somewhere in that ballpark. Flash forward 4 years, it's either now or just slightly in the future. It was a little bit of a bummer to me, as I sensed it was to you, that after all of that, Raylan goes down to Florida and does not end up a family with Winona and the baby. That seemed to be the thing that had you kind of discombobulated at that point, maybe a little bit disconcerted. Is that right?
Well, my hesitation or my confusion is more directly tied into pacing. I mean, the first 30 minutes of this episode was, you know, more on the floor. I mean, you were we were going as fast as we'd probably ever gone on this show, as far as the sort of action coefficient that we were experiencing. There was so much happening so fast and so intensely that by the time Ava drove away, I was anticipating more of the same, and instead they completely slam on the brakes, and then sort of we see Raylan making his exit from the Lexington office, and every turn I'm expecting him to come back in and do something else, that him chasing Ava or whatever. It slowed down almost depressingly there, until the point where we see Raylan in Florida with his daughter, no Boyd. And then by the time we get to the Raylan face-to-face with Boyd, I'm just expecting there to be like another 20 minutes of the episode, because it can't possibly end this way. Now, I don't want to sound all dramatic, but everything that we've been looking at, all the things that we interpreted as Easter eggs, maybe they weren't. The whole you'll never leave Harlan alive, that was supposed to be some big telling detail that somebody's going down, and nobody went down. I mean, you could argue the point that Avery Markham was the big death that we needed to see, but yeah, my hesitation was I was expecting it to build to a crescendo, not to slowly fade out, which is what it felt like to me.
Oh, it was all epilogue after that segment. No question about it. It was one long epilogue from that point on, which interestingly enough harkens back in my mind. You know, I'm always looking and finding parallels here. Season 3, the last segment of Season 3, after everything had gone down at the slaughterhouse there with Quarles and with Limehouse, and Quarles lost the arm. That was all epilogue. They were at the U.S. Marshal's office in Lexington. He goes to find Winona afterwards. But, I'm right with you. When they flashed forward to 4 years ahead, and it was proof that he didn't get in that elevator and go somewhere and go off and find Ava and bring her in, that was kind of strange. And again, just in a way, depressing again, in that he did not end up making a family with Winona. And she, at first blush, I think, seems to have found another Gary. So, you know, Winona just seems to prefer these beta males. Seems like she can't handle TV's alpha male here when it comes to that. I will say the flash forward kind of reminded me, as far as being startling, there was a similar thing, spoiler alert for everybody out there, toward the end of Fargo last year, toward the end of season one of Fargo. And it really came out of nowhere. This one, maybe not so much, because, you know, you got it at least fit into a story. You were expecting him to go after Ava, but it sort of fit into a story versus it was very jarring when it happened a year ago. With Fargo, because it seemed to leave some things with the story unresolved when it did. So the timing of this made more sense. I want to ask you also, too, in terms of Raylan being there on the playground, you watched enough of Breaking Bad. I know you got to at least close to the very end. You saw with the part at the end of season 5, part 1, right before Hank finds out about Walt, when he's on the crapper, spoiler alert, Hank finds out about Walt, so anybody that didn't make it that far in. When they were sitting there at the pool, and you're sitting there going, there's got to be more to this. Is there somebody from Walt's former wife who doesn't want him to walk away, who's maybe got rifles trained on the pool? I know when I was doing a recap of that with Nate Noy, our FDH Lounge dignitary at the time, we were both saying we had our hearts in our throats looking at that. We felt like maybe there's going to be an attack on the family. Maybe somebody's got rifles trained. I had a little bit of the same moment there at the park. Were you maybe thinking that Boyd was going to come out of nowhere? You know, after they already said, no jail cells can hold him, whatever. Did you have any sense of an inkling of danger there at the park?
Well, first off, let me say that your version of this thought is considerably more developed than mine was.
Okay.
When I saw them in the park and we're talking 4 years later, I was doing math. The idea that at some point, if we are to believe that Boyd can't be contained for the remainder of his natural life by a prison, at some point he's going to get out, whether it's by legal means or not. And in my mind, I was considering, is 4 years enough time that he could have made his way out? And if he made his way out, I don't think I'd gone so far to think that he was going to be there to kill Raylan in that moment. But I did have a very strong sense that maybe this is where they go to turn and fulfill that idea from 5 minutes ago where we're going to see Boyd again. Now, I wasn't necessarily thinking that he was going to be eye in a scope ready to take out in front of his daughter, but I did think we were about to see Boyd in some way, shape, or fashion, being that he would have been no longer in the custody of a prison.
All right, so we both had a little bit of the same thought there, but it was...
I might have been just hoping for something like that subconsciously to get more of a build-up than a build-down.
Yeah, because, again, you know, and it's one of those things where, as you and I were watching it in real time there at the end and discussing the end of the show as it was happening here on the air, where I said to you, this has got to be it, this final scene with Raylan and Boyd, this is going to be them talking, and indeed that was it. I mean, it was pretty clear, I think, at that point. And I'm not just saying looking at the clock, but just that what are they going to end with other than this? It would be anticlimactic to do that. But for anybody out there in any betting pools that had Raylan, Boyd, and Ava all being alive at the end, you probably could have gotten long odds on that. As you said, the whole, you know, you'll never leave Harlan alive again. Avery, Boone, previously you had Mikey, you had Catherine, but with the exception of Mikey, these were all season six bad guys. It's customary for bad guys to end or up in a bad way at the end of the season, whether it be death, usually, or arrest. So that, like you said, that doesn't count. We're thinking that the permanent characters, somebody's not going to walk away from this at the end. And I'll tell you what, too, it would be cheating. If you had spoilers on tonight's show and you went to bet somebody that Boyd was going to let Ava walk away, they would have never made that bet. You could have gotten the greatest odds in the world. And indeed, Raylan would have never let Ava walk in the moment, but it wasn't in the moment. It was 4 years later. So that's where the notion of this and what can change in the mind in 4 years, and he saw that Ava had kind of reformed herself in the course of that time. And again, I'm sure he felt bad for her carrying Boyd Jr. there as well. But, God, there was just so much that was totally unexpected in the way that it ended there. I mean, it's not like any of us knew how this was going to go down, right? We went into this knowing there's a lot of imponderables and how are they going to tie all of this up in an hour. But just the way that they did it there at the end, yeah, that epilogue, like you said, it wasn't there was no acceleration from that point on. We kept waiting for a shoe to drop. And it became clear that the last shoe dropped on that road there, and apparently it belonged to Boone.
You know, Rick, I want to make one thing very clear so that people don't misinterpret what's happening right now. I've never read a single word, Justified included, Fire in the Hole, that Leonard Elmore wrote. I have no idea how his books tend to end. I don't know if this is characteristic, and I'm not even saying that it's a bad thing, because I think you and I both, when it's released, are probably going to go out and buy the Blu-ray full complete series with bonus feature box set, and I'm sure that we will from time to time rewatch it beginning to end as one complete package. And in the end, after going through it a few times, I may, in hindsight, believe that this is exactly how it needed to end. But right now, just sort of shooting from the hip, this is exactly the kind of ending I would not have expected. Now, I also think that had we had this conversation yesterday and you said, you know, put your money on the table, how does this go down, I probably would have bet that Boyd is dead and Markham is dead. maybe Ava finds a way to, and I've kind of been playing around with that for a couple weeks now. I got the impression that Ava was going to be the character that sort of gets out, is free and clear, whether she's let go or, as we saw in the end there, that Raylan's just doesn't see the purpose to pursue this any longer. I always felt Raylan would survive, and I got the impression that Ava might. But the fact that Boyd is still alive, and Avery Markham, as you mentioned, a season 6 character, not a mainstay, is the only one of any real significance. As much as we like Boone, he's really not a significant character.
Right.
I was surprised to see that Markham was the only casualty today.
I'm surprised as well. And, again, the one thing about this here, too, I didn't know how much we'd be able to get into the broad strokes of this thing versus all the different things that happened. But ultimately, outside of the one sequence that played out there between commercial breaks, which I texted to you and I said this might be up there in the history of television for the most that was ever packed into one segment of a show. Outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot leading up to that that was consequential. I should probably just go ahead and get anything like that out of the way here first. Zach Randolph was dead up there on the hill. It's unclear whether the explosives got him or whether Boyd did. It was unclear to me, I should say. I don't know. Did you pick up on that? Did Boyd off him, or do you think it was the explosives last week?
Well, if we're talking about the footage from last week, I think it's Boyd.
Okay.
I think the explosive, and we talked about this last week, and it's a thing that's just going to keep happening in television. There's just no way that what I'm about to say ever plays out realistically, because then it's not as entertaining. And that is, when a guy intends to do harm, he almost always announces it. And that's just dumb. It would never happen in real life. He would never say what he said to give Boyd any warning that this was going to happen. And so when Boyd then falls to the dirt and realizes he's not dead, I think the next thing is he shoots Zachary. And I almost want to say that I believe that I saw that, but maybe I didn't. But yeah, I think the death of Zachariah comes from Boyd's hand, literally.
I believe so, yes. So R.I.P. Zach Randolph, will miss your post moves in the mines and backwoods of Appalachia there. So, but when Ava under duress. You knew I had to get one more there. Yeah. By the way, too, I don't know if Zachariah Randolph was deliberately named after Zach Randolph, but I'm going to mention this one point here, too, because this is a distant sort of connection that I discovered that I had to the show, which really kind of amused me a couple of days ago. One of the writers on the show, I forget his first name, but coincidentally, I believe his last name is Boyd. He named a couple of the different characters here. And he is a big fan of, by the way, and this is a great, great station, The Ticket, the sports radio station in Dallas. I'm not a huge fan of local sports talk radio these days. The Dallas one, a long time ago, one of the guys there on a great show, Bad Radio, Bob and Dan, that's how they get the bad there, Dan McDowell, long, long, long time ago, WOUB down in Athens, he and I worked at the same public radio station down there. I'm sure Dan doesn't remember me at all. I remember him a little bit from the time there, but I've followed his career subsequently. He's very smart. He's very funny. He's very, very entertaining. This guy's a fan of that station, and he's named some of the characters on the show off of some of the guys at the station, including one of the guys on the Bad Radio show. I think the guy who's the third man on their show. And I was reading this. I was like, you got to be kidding me. One of the guys on Dan McDowell's show and a couple other guys from his station, there were characters named after them on Justified. So that kind of made me laugh when I read that a few days ago. But again, I don't know if the Zach Randolph thing was intentional on their part or not. I like to think that it was. And if they're sly enough to slip in some sport talk radio, the ticket references in there, they're probably sly enough to name Zachariah Randolph somebody that we're going to abbreviate the name on. But so he ends up dead. Ava's forced to call the cabin under duress, ends up Boyd. She ends up tricking Avery into sending a guy there. And Boyd says that he is going to be at, I believe, Compass Rock. It turns out to be a no-show, obviously. So that's a diversionary tactic. Subsequently, Boyd makes it to the cabin. Subsequently, Raylan makes it to the cabin. Because at the beginning of the episode, Art is able to get Raylan out of custody. And so that kind of resolves itself quickly. And they end up interrogating the dirty cop there. And Raylan uses a pressure tactic on him to get the information. And then that leads us to, again, what I said is probably the most action-packed sequence I have ever seen on TV. Before we start to talk about that, I want to ask you, we were discussing this last week, how much there was compressed into this week, and how are they going to resolve it all? And the funny thing is they resolved, what, maybe 95, 96% of it in 40 minutes, not even the whole hour. I want to ask you about the pacing before we get started. Do you think they handled the pacing right? I mean, they only took about two-thirds of the time, maybe a little bit more than we thought they would end up using anyways. But they left so much into tonight, even after four episodes in a row that were sort of quasi-finales in terms of importance leading up to this. To me, it seems like they basically got it right, but in the moment, I don't know, because they crammed a lot in. And out of the entire episode, they crammed the lion's share into that segment. I mean, part of me wants to take my hat off to them for that segment, and part of me wants to say, you know, 13 episodes, could we maybe have let it breathe a little bit more going into that? There was just so much resolved all at once. I don't mean to be wishy-washy, but I'm of two minds as to whether that was great or whether that could have been spread out a little more.
Well, my gut instinct, just shooting from the hip here, my thought is, if this is how it was going to play out, with all the information we've had through 13 episodes, would it really have been that difficult to go to the powers that be and make a 14th episode? For me, the first two-thirds of the episode were pretty incredible. And then it felt like they were like, okay, we've got 10 minutes, let's wrap everything up. It's got the impression that it felt a little rushed. And I really thought that maybe you could have kept that pace going for this and then done another. If the intention is to always end this with sort of an epilogue scenario, you could have done a next episode or just a really long finale episode, and I think we would have been fine with that didn't feel like there was a point in the episode where everything had to get tied up and tied up quickly. So my first thought is a 14th episode or a double-length finale would have worked better. Now, maybe that's part of the hesitation in us anointing this as good as the previous four, is that the previous four were insane. As you mentioned, they were finale quality all on their own, individually or as a group. And now you have this huge buildup, this sense that all this is going to come crashing down in one epic moment that television will remember forever. And instead, we get that for 40 minutes, and then they put on the brakes. So in regards to pacing, I thought they could have gone longer and more felt like it was the closure we were looking for as opposed to what we experienced. I think the pacing of episodes 1 through 12 were incredible, and I have no complaints whatsoever. It's just that the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes of this episode was so uncharacteristic that I kind of don't know how I feel about it in general, even more so than just the pacing.
I hear you. As I say, I don't want to sound wishy-washy, but I'm of two minds about that. Part of me appreciates what they, I mean, that's a sequence for the ages. That, you know, between those commercial breaks there, I don't know if we've ever seen the likes of that before. I don't know if we'll ever see the likes of that again. But again, coming into this week, so much to get done. If you would have told us that we'd be seeing resolution to all of the big immediate stuff in the first 40 to 45 minutes, we'd have never believed it. And it's a strange kind of a thing. I felt like FX, from what I was watching last year, and it wasn't every minute of every show, but I was watching a lot of the stuff as the Sons of Anarchy episodes were winding down. And I thought the blank check that they gave Kurt Sutter was too expansive. I thought there were a lot of hour-and-a-half episodes and this and that and whatever, and a lot of it, for my money, was retracing some of the same kind of stuff, twists here, twists there, whatever. I felt like FX gave them a little bit too much rope. Surely I think FX would have given more rope to Graham Yost and Company if they wanted it. Apparently they didn't want it. And it just is, because I agree with you. I like the idea of the epilogue, but you do it at the end. I think you do it in the last 15 minutes as like a 15-minute run over or whatever. We could have started this thing a little bit later. And they didn't need to wrap it up on time just for us, or more or less on time. Also, too, speaking of Graham Yost and, of course, Elmore Leonard, the creator of the Justified world, I, too, am largely unfamiliar with his writing. I will say this, and this is not going to sound in a complimentary way, but it is. My understanding of all of the stuff that he does in terms of endings, resolutions, whatever, is that it's screwy in a good way, as in he makes it work, or made it work, or rather, past tense, unfortunately, R.I.P. Elmore Leonard, but that something as quirky as the way tonight ended, absolutely, I think, was probably in the spirit of Elmore Leonard. I think that is, to have the sense that it didn't go down the way that he would have wanted it to go down, I think they probably had a good sense of that. So for good or for ill, I think we can thank Elmore Leonard if we found the ending tonight to be a little bit weird in places. And clearly you and I did. I mean, there's no question we found some things about it weird, even if we thought that it was good in other ways and we're relieved that Raylan's alive. And before we get into that sequence, I should probably bring this up, too. I had seen this talked about previously, speculated during the course of the season, and it was left unspoken in the epilogue, but the notion of Loretta carrying on as the next generation of Harlan County possible kingpins here, everybody's out of the way for her. So that's kind of an interesting kind of a thought, too, of what happened to Loretta after all this. I think we know what happened to Loretta, but it's interesting to ponder, isn't it?
It is, and furthermore, referring back to a text I sent you during the show, there's a part of me, whether it's, you know, done by Yost or not, there's a little part of me that takes the Loretta part, combines that with the line that Raylan gives Gutterson when he looks over and says, I hope the next guy that takes this desk is less of a pain than I was or whatever. Immediately I'm thinking, please give me a spinoff. I don't know if it's if it would be as successful as Better Call Saul, but I want a spinoff now where Gutterson is the lead deputy U.S. Marshal, and maybe, just maybe, Miss Loretta is the new big swinging whatever in Harlan County. I don't know that would ever get made, but the little part of my fanboy brain was screaming for that just past the midway point.
Jacob Pitts he's an incredible actor. I know he's the one who got you into the show in the first place. And something tells me, Jason, something tells me there's a very, very meaty part on a very successful show in his future, meatier than what we saw here. I have that strange feeling. I don't know what I can attribute that to, but, I think Jacob Pitts is going to be just fine when it's all said and done.
We won't go there, but I have a specific one in mind. If you
wish list, yes. We both have them at the top of a wish list for something that we shouldn't discuss here, but I will say this. The scene at the cabin here, there was so much that happened. You've got Avery there. He's holding a gun on Ava. Boyd brings the dirty cop in as a hostage. And we're looking at a standoff type of situation there. But, again, neither one cared if the other hostage got shot. And Boyd takes out Avery. Boyd finishes off the cop. Boyd's going to finish off Ava, and his chamber's empty. That's the only thing that keeps Ava alive. Raylan comes in, and we have the final confrontation between them. And we know, obviously from the coming attractions, we know that Boyd hasn't Raylan hasn't faced off with Boone yet. We know Raylan's walking away. We don't know that Boyd's walking away. And Boyd ultimately, I think, realizes he's not going to outdraw Raylan Givens. He tried that once in the pilot, and it didn't go so well. So the notion of Raylan taking him alive, that to me sort of stems back to what happened at the end of the last episode here. We didn't hear anything about Constable Bob. I'm assuming he turned out to be okay in the end, or we probably would have heard otherwise. But Constable Bob really kind of saved Raylan, didn't he? Because he got him off of that track of, I'm going to kill Boyd. I don't care if I cross the line, whatever. Because Raylan had one more chance to cross the line tonight, and he blinked.
You know, before getting to Constable Bob, it's kind of strange to think that there were at minimum three of those traditional Old West standoffs that we referenced even last season as a staple of this show, and why it's often referred to as a modern-day Western. And to think that there were three of them in one episode, and none of them had Boyd v. Raylan with a finite conclusion. And maybe that was a telling sign. But, the Constable Bob thing, it's funny because we talked about it when he was cast and when we first saw him, and then those interactions where he kind of was the bumbling idiot for a little while. But then, taking care of that, forget the guy's name, it's a stupid name, a couple of years ago.
YOLO.
When he took care of YOLO, the end of Decoy, and then last week, where essentially Bob very well could have completely changed Raylan's outcome from closure with Boyd, but the remainder of his life in prison or in some other way disciplined or blacklisted or whatever, Bob, whether he knew it or not, may have been the catalyst that sets Raylan on a course and allows him to sort of live in Florida, have a relationship with his daughter, and dislike his ex-wife's new husband.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right, because I think the course of events there, I think that was in Raylan's brain, even if only subconsciously there, as he arrests Boyd, as he takes him in the right way. I'm going to go a step further from what you just said, and it's great when you and I get a chance to do this, and we've done this for the course of our time together reviewing Justified, is when one of us can build on what the other one said. Two people that Raylan looked out for through the course of the show, Constable Bob and Loretta. And in that final showdown scene there, and they even framed it at one point, you could almost see the tumbleweeds blowing through on that stretch of highway. You've talked about that before, about picturing the tumbleweeds. That's as close as we ever came when they were going to draw on one another, and they did. And they shoot each other. They both go down. It looked like the ending of Reservoir Dogs there for a second. But you first see that it was a shot to, I guess, the heart, upper chest, whatever, somewhere in there on Boone. And he raises the gun again, and he's about to try to get another one off, and Loretta just comes over here with her boot, kicks the gun away, makes sure that Boone just collapses and dies. So Loretta literally helped save Raylan's life in that moment, presumably drove him to get medical attention at that point. So that helped as well. But they go down. We see Raylan laying on the ground, and there's a lot of time left in the episode. That's the only thing that made me think maybe this isn't it, because he wasn't moving. And even when he gets up, you see blood from the head. And I guess it was the hat. I guess the hat more or less basically deflected that shot and kept it from being a fatal one. Boone got greedy and went for the head. Raylan went for the upper chest. Raylan gets the better of it. But that moment there, you know, I literally said to myself out loud when it went to commercial break, I have no words right now. I just kept repeating that to myself out loud, because that break, it was just, I was just like, I can't even after this. I can't even. My mind had melted down after all of this.
Yeah, no, I was right there with you because I believe you even texted it to me after I basically said, and I'll keep this family friendly, what the heck is going on here? Because at that point, I was completely. Side note, it should be mentioned that the thing that you just said with Loretta to any potential showrunners really does make a dynamic beautiful for a Justified spinoff. But I'll wait for some Kickstarter thing to get all up in arms about that. But yeah, no, that moment, the whole, okay, we have Avery. That thing was crazy. Like, I don't care how you want to describe it. We can get into technical terms all you want. But what we saw really from a, even from a nonverbal character acting perspective, Markham was a different Markham today than he was every other episode leading up to it, with maybe the exception of his final words to Catherine. It did not look like Markham was going to leave that situation dead. But that whole situation with Boyd and the hostage and the way Markham went down was insane. And then, yes, the tumbleweed, you can just see, you know, John Wayne in that situation or Clint Eastwood in that situation. And then when they both went down, I did have to pick my jaw up off the floor because I literally thought, this cannot be the way it ends. It can't be as interesting as Boone is. This cannot be the way it ends. So then when you see Loretta's foot come down on Boone's hand, then all of a sudden you're sort of reinvigorated with, okay, this is good. And then when he gets up and you see that there was a bullet hole in the hat and it really only grazed him, you're thinking, okay, this is where we sort of reboot this episode. And this is where it takes off in a new tangent. He's going to chase after Ava, and it's going to be this thing. And even though it wasn't, like I said before, in the end, when we go back and review this again as one big product, we may discover that this was a stroke of genius the way that they decided to end it. It's just that after those two scenes in that one segment being so insane, I'm still a little shocked that it slowed down as quickly as it did.
Well, and how's this for fitting? We are going to wrap up our final ever recap of a Justified episode in real time with that sequence playing out on the screens here on the FX replay. We're still going to be going, and we're going to be wrapping this thing up when this thing is still ongoing here. What a note for us to coincide with. I will say, too, there was one piece in the end there where they answered apparently. And it's funny how many, and this is true to Justified, you just have to make some assumptions here that some things are true, and maybe Graham Yost will clear these things up subsequently as far as the canon of the show. But Win Duffy, that thing last week with the that van that he had, we never saw Win Duffy tonight, except for 4 years later in the whole supposition thing here, the list of suppositions that Raylan had, that no, it wasn't Limehouse that helped her get away. No, it wasn't Ellen May that helped her get away. It was nice to see them pop up however quickly it was one last time. Win Duffy, apparently, and that he has disappeared and gone surfing in Maui. Rumors of it anyways, but Win Duffy, the ultimate cockroach, getting away with the $9 million. Ultimately, what could be more fitting than that after everything that went on through all this time? But I have to say here in the last couple of minutes, I want to bring this around to sort of a meta level as well, as far as talking about the experience of watching this show and the last two seasons watching this show and covering this show in real time. You and I have done this seasons 5, season 6, 25 of the last 26 episodes together. We had one a couple weeks ago where I pulled one, a brief solo one due to some circumstances here, but essentially for all intents and purposes, all of season 5, all of season 6, getting together watching it. It's not the last time we'll do anything like this. We're going to do a season 6 recap / a series recap in the very near future. Maybe we'll watch some of these things together and do some DVD-style commentary as we're watching it. I know we've talked about doing that for Decoy, and I believe we will hopefully in the near future here, but this is it. This is the last time that we are ever going to do this, that we're ever going to have Justified to react to. And as much as we're in shock about the way that some of the things went down tonight, even it, being in shock, I'm not enough in shock to where I don't realize that, you know, this is the end of an era for us doing this. And a little wistful about that, as well as the show itself, because, again, I like to feel that through the last two seasons we've really pushed each other on coming up with insights and trying to dig to find things here that can be of use to the listeners and those reading the reviews over at NotJustAnotherTVSite.com. So, again, for guys like me and you that are also breaking this stuff down, breaking it down right after it's done, it's even a second sort of level of loss tonight beyond what the regular Justified fans are feeling.
Yeah, no, and you know, to sort of piggyback that idea, this sort of we've pushed ourselves and we've had a real interesting experience with this. And coming off the Wynn Duffy comments, I'll sort of leave this as sort of my second to last thought. You were very astute last week to point out that it wasn't so much the old ice cream truck that was interesting, but knowing that Ava had the money and Ava was in the mountains, that Wynn asked for a topographical map of Harlan County. Maybe that should have been more foreshadowing than it was, because I believe wholeheartedly that that's exactly how she got out of there, and Wynn Duffy's sitting somewhere sitting pretty with $9 million. And one last thing I would like to say is sort of just putting a bow on everything. Some may think that we're being critical of today's episode, and maybe we are, but that's just because we've been so intent on this the entire way. But I'll say this sort of as a closing gesture. We wouldn't have any of this. We wouldn't have Decoy. We wouldn't have had Mags Bennett. We wouldn't have had this draw that got us into this show if it wasn't for Leonard Elmore. And if Leonard Elmore's style, intent, what have you, would have been to end it this way in his unconventional style, then I'm all for it, and I've got no complaints whatsoever. It was a heck of a ride, and thank you personally for figuratively beating me over the head a couple hundred times with why are you not watching Justified yet?
Well, I'm glad it happened in time for the last two seasons to where we could do this together. I've often been wistful about what if we could have broken down season four in real time, as great as it was. But you know what? I think season six, all told, was even better. I think they went out on the highest note that they could have for a season. Again, there's some things tonight that, yeah, we're still kind of, you know, reacting to. I don't know how I feel about. On the whole, I'm positive about tonight. Some elements of it, yeah, not so much. I do believe, again, this is how Elmore Leonard would have wanted it to go down. Even if he wouldn't know the exact way it went, I feel like it was true to his spirit. They kept asking themselves, what would Elmore do? And I think they nailed it as far as how that went. They also played You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive, as you said tonight, kind of a teaser there. We expected somebody big was going to die, and ultimately no lasting characters on this show did. They played it right towards the end of the big sequence before the shootout with Raylan and Boone, which, again, I'm watching in real time on the replay right now. An unbelievable show. I think this will go down as one of the top-tier TV dramas of all time. One of the best of the best, and it's been a privilege to get to break it down with you, Jason. I'm looking forward to penning my final real-time words on an episode for NotJustAnotherTVSite.com. Thank you for everything, my friend, as far as doing these shows with me. It's been a hell of a ride.
Indeed, sir.
It has been. And as I say, we'll have some more Justified coverage in the days to come, days and weeks, I should say, and not anything imminent, but this is the last of the episodes that we'll ever cover in real time. Thank you all for having joined us.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.